In this shiur for Parshas Naso, we would like to discuss aspects of Sota, Nazir, and in general, a Jewish society. We begin with a very famous Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. Derech Briyaso Shel Adam, the Rambam defines the nature of man, his ethical behavior, Lios Nimshach B'deosov Uvamasov, and the Rambam is talking about the influence of society, of one's ethical beliefs, ethical behavior, and he speaks about reyov v'chaverov, close friends and perhaps associates, v'noe k'minog anshe medinoso, and the impact and influence of the society in which he lives. A person is impacted. Lefichach tzarech adam l'schaver l'tzadikim. The practical result of this abstract principle is that a person has to be careful choosing his friends, rubbing shoulders with tzadikim. Leishev etzel chachamim. He should certainly locate himself in proximity to scholars, tamid, on a regular basis. And here the Rambam implies the positive influence of society. The negative, one must be careful to remain far away from those evildoers who follow the path of darkness. Those who follow in the footsteps of the Chachamim, they will become Chachamim. But for Roek Silim Yarua, if he associates with the Ksilim, the cynics, and so forth, Yarua, his actions will be influenced to the negative. And the Rambam goes on to say that this has an even more far-reaching impact and practical application. He's saying, "V'im hayu kol amedinos." Let's say a person finds himself in a society that's evil, then he should pick up and relocate himself into a society of tzaddikim. But what if all the medinos, all the societies they could find, shehu yodam, that he hears about them, or shomesh boasam, nagim b'derech lo tova? And then the Rambam adds a comment, kibos manenu. In our time, it's very hard to find a morally upstanding society in which we should live and locate ourselves. What should he do in such a case? And the Rambam goes very far out. And he says, the best thing he could do is yetze lima'oros. He should go out to the far out places where he exists as a kind of hermit, a Robinson Crusoe, midbarios, even to the wilderness. That's how important it is to find the proper environment, the proper society. So this is the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Aleph. If you take a look in the Rishonim and the commentaries on the Torah that reflect on the nature of man and to what extent man is influenced by his society, you will find that the Rishonim emphasize the great danger of these influences that are alien and negative on the individual. If you take a look at the Gemara in Sota on Daf Beis, Rashi quotes it here in Naso, Perek Vav of Sefer Bamidbar, Pasuk Beis, the Ramban, a little bit earlier. Lama nisbacha parshas nezirus leparshas sota. You will find in the Chumash that Naso comes, is divided into two contiguous themes, one of which is the sota, and the other is the nazir. Why are these placed one next to the other? Kol haroeh sota bilkul kula Yazir Atzmo Minayayin. The impact of being aware and seeing the sota and the entire process that she's subjected to, which is called nivul, he's going to be in a very precarious situation. He will be impacted by what he sees, and therefore he has to take an extreme cautious step, and that is to be makabel on himself, nazirus min hayayin. The emphasis here is on the influence of yayin, but also on the influence of society, on what he sees around him. This is also brought down here in Parshas Noso, in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem. This is in Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis. And the Targum Yonasan says, Malil im b'nei Yisrael v'temelon, tell the people of Israel, Gevero issa rum chamion stisa b'kulkula v'yifrosh min chamra. The Chazal, in this context, revealed to us the tremendous, powerful impact of society around us. And specifically, Kalus Rosh, when a person is not behaving properly, a person is influenced, even a Roes Sota Bikulkula is going to be influenced, to the extent to which he has to strengthen himself and take this extreme cautious method of Kabbalah's Nazirus. It's fascinating that David HaMelech chooses to begin Sefer Tehillim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Asher Ha'ish Asher Lo Holach Batzas Rishoyim. Who is the person who should be singled out for praise? He's one who doesn't follow the ways of the Rishoyim. He's not influenced by their Eitzah. And the phrase Atzas Rishoyim in David HaMelech is reminiscent of the Atzas Meraglim and the influence that they had on others. We'll get back to that in Mirtz Hashem a little bit later on. And David continues, and he says, "B'derech hatoim lo amad, u'b'moshav leitzim lo yoshav." Moshav leitzim. That's the phrase that we saw in Shlomo HaMelech, when he tells us to avoid a moshav leitzim, as the Rambam had said it, we quoted it earlier in Hilchas Deos, Holech es chachomim yechkam, please avoid this constant association with leitzim, with ksilim. And in a sefer on Tehillim called Tilos Hashem, the Medrash is quoted that David HaMelech begins his five Sfarim, which correspond to the five Chumashim of Torah. Of all things, he chooses this Mizmar, and obviously he's telling us that we have to be very careful about Moshav Leitzim, of being very far away from these influences. And therefore, in the case of Dor HaMabul, in the case of Anshei HaFloga, these were collective entities that swept away individuals. And the Ashrei here belongs to the person who refrains, he moves away. There's a very famous introduction of Rabbeinu Bechai to Parshas Lech Lecha. And he too, as we saw in the Rambam, emphasizes the pasuk in Mishle, Holech es chachomim yechkam v'roe ksilim yarua. And he says that Shlomo HaMelech is warning us in this pasuk. Yazir v'pasuk hazel ha'odem lishtadel v'chevres chachomim lisrachik v'chevres ksilim. This is something that we have to be very careful about, and go to great ends with great efforts to surround ourselves with positive influences of chachamim, and to stay far away from the society of those who are negative. and therefore holech shaholech achreim tamin mischav ralev yosatz motofalehem. When Shlomo Melech says holech es chachamim or holech ksilim, he's talking about someone who goes achreim. He follows in their footsteps on a regular basis and he gets connected to them. He sees himself as secondary to them, attaching himself, as it were, to them, and therefore he comes under their influence. And Rabbeinu Bachai points out that a person who has this attribute, that he looks for chachamim and he connects to them, is a person who is guaranteed, ein safek, sheyechkam, that he will become a chacham. And in the flip side, a mischaber aksilim, he who links up to these cynics, it's guaranteed, ein safek, sheyehulam, he too will go down, 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 rosh yorua. And the general principle and the final conclusion, says Rabbeinu Bachai, from this pasuk in Mishle, is levayr hanezek hamagia micheves haksilim v'ha'olam izem. What we should take from this is, says Rabbeinu Bachai, ki yesh becheves haksilim nezek bilti toeles. He says you cannot even put an end, you know, you cannot quantify the immeasurable, the infinite, endless impact of the chevras haksilim, the nezek, the terrible damage that it has. And he uses this in his introduction to Parshas Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu Ratzel Lekayim Inyan HaTorah V'Avoda. He quotes the famous Chazal that Avraham Avinu wanted to fulfill every mitzvah of the Torah, even Erev Tavshilin. V'Hutzrach Li'Zoyer Mi'Chevras Anshei Dora Rishoyim. And therefore it was incumbent upon Avraham to be very careful to move far away and distance himself from the influence and the social intercourse with the Anshei Doro, the members of his generation, the Rishoyim. These were idol worshippers, evildoers, they were immoral. Shehi Sibel Avatel Abachira, if he would come in close contact with them, it would undermine his ability to think clearly and make the right choices. And therefore, Hashem Yisburach comes to tell Avram Vidashisrachim him, go far away from them. V'ayislachlech imahem. Interesting how Rabbeinu Bachai interprets lech lecha by taking those two words and joining them, making one word lich luch. Don't soil yourself, don't dirty yourself by your connection to them. It's contagious. Like the famous story of a teenage girl who comes under bad influences and her father is so upset, he doesn't know how to impact and tell her, convey to her how dangerous these associations are. He sits with her at the fireplace, and as they're looking at the fire that's rising from the coals, he stands up and with his foot, with his shoe, he kicks one of the coals away from the fire. And he tells her to pick up the coal after it cools down. And look at your hands. Look how black they become. This is the influence when you come in contact with these people. And therefore, Avraham Avinu, says Rabbeinu Bachai, is commanded to leave his country, his homeland, his family. Avraham Avinu was living amongst the idol worshippers, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Lech Lecha, Al Tislach Lech Imohem. And Rabbeinu Bachai quotes David HaMelech in his opening line to Sefer Tehillim, Ashrei Ish Asher Lo Halach V'Yetzas Rishoyim. It means, Ra David HaMelech Ol V'Sholom L'Haskil Sifro, the opening line of his great magnum opus of Tehillim, Bar Chokas Chevras Rishoyim, the theme that comes first is to distance oneself from association with evildoers, but rather to come in contact with Chachamim and link up with the Torah. And in the light of this Rabbeinu Bachai, perhaps we can answer the question about the sequence here at the beginning, the tzivui of Lech Lecha. It says, Me'artzecha u'memoladetcha v'beis avicha. Well, distance-wise, you would say you would start with Beis Avicha, and then you would move on to Moladetcha, which is a reference to the city, and finally to Artzecha, the entire country. But yet he starts with Artzecha. And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tzivui is moving from the most, shall we say, the lightest influence to the most profound influence. We're not talking about Avraham Avinu's physical leaving and exiting from a certain place, not the exodus of Avraham. We're talking about the nefesh of Avraham Avinu, the soul. He has to remove himself first and foremost from Arzo, because even the country in which he finds himself will influence him. And then Moladeto, which means the city in which he's living, he was raised, and that's an even greater impact, a greater influence. And finally, Beis Aviv, where in the house of Terach they were used to idol worship, to bowing down to idols. And Avraham Avinu couldn't get the first tzivui right up front. There's got to be a gradual process. First leave your Eretz, then your Moledes, and then finally Beis Aviv. It's a gradual process in which Hashem leaves for last that which is closest and most passionate about Avram's, emotionally Avram's attachment. He's certainly most attached to Beis Aviv, and that's the greatest influence. And that comes at the end. And this concept of lichluch, of lech lecha, means that Hashem is sending him to Eretz Yisrael. There, he's meant to purify himself, to cleanse himself of this lichluch, in the influences of Avira di Eretz Yisrael. And ultimately, Hashem takes him to Har Moriah. And there's going to be an Akedah. I mean, that's going to happen not at the beginning of Lech Lecha, but right at the end of Parshas Vayera. But that is the ultimate of purification, to remove and cleanse the Lichluch of Avram in Kazdin before the Lech Lecha. It's interesting that Hashem bestows a bracha on Yishmael v'huye pera adam. And Rashi says that pera adam is oev midbarios, that Yishmael is being blessed in the fact that he loves to go out to the wilderness and live there. And offhand, that's a very strange concept. I mean, Rashi bases himself on the pasuk Vayehi rova keshes, vayeshev b'midbar paran. Indeed, Yishmael, as a kiyum of this bracha, is a yoshev midbarios. But why is that a bracha? To be a someone who loves midbarios? And the answer is because that's exactly what the Rambam says, as we started with in Hilchos Deis Perek Vav, that if a person cannot find a chevras tzaddikim, he can't be mischaber to the chachamim, he can't even find a medina that's upright and ethical in its ways, says the Rambam, should up and leave society, and he should sit badad yeshev yechidi, says the Rambam, alone, isolated, independent of society. He is the Robinson Crusoe we mentioned before, and that's the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon Yishmael, that Yishmael would not live in a medina where the niug, the minhagim of that medina, the behavior pattern, the ethics, and the mores are so rotten. Or reim yelech l'midbarios, let him go out into the midbar, and that's where he will dwell, far away from society. And why, as the Rambam says, yeshev badad v'yidom, It's better to be badam v'yidam without any communication and interaction with society than to live in a society that has such a negative influence on him, an impact that will drag him down. And you have to ask yourself the question, why is it that now at times we don't find anyone, even the most pious and religious, ethical Baal Musa, we don't find that they pick up and leave and establish themselves somewhere in an isolated wilderness? And the Chazon Ish claims that in our days we have a place where we could be mischaber with Chachomim and Tzadikim, and that's the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash. A Jew who wants to save himself from all these waves of negative influences that threaten to wash him, to completely undermine him, he should find himself and gravitate to the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos, will find Chachamim, will find Tzadikim, and surround himself by that atmosphere. And in the Bir Agra in Mishle, there's a very strange pasuk in Perek Yud Zayin in Mishle, and that is Pagosh Dov Shakul Beish Velksil Bavlaso. What is it, Bivalto? What is this all about? Says the Gaon, Dov Hu Ragzon Miot. The nature of the bear is that he gets very angry, and when, in particular, when he's considered Shakul, when they are killing his cubs. The Kolshkein, and how much more so, is he angry about the person who is killing his children. That's the Dov. Says the Gaon, B'eis yifkishenu, B'eis yifkishenu, V'arei sakonos atzuma miod, mikol makom, Tov Yosel Lifkosh Sadov Mi Lifkosh Ksil Biesholik Lasos Ivalto Okshaosach Biveles. The mashal of Shlomo HaMelech in Mishle here, says the Gaon, is that imagine how dangerous it is to be in close proximity with this angry grizzly bear who's able to kill a person in a very short amount of time. And why is this bear so angry? Because this human being has taken away or has hunted his cubs, his children. But yet, despite the danger of being exposed to such an angry bear, it's less dangerous and less despicable than to encounter a seal and be influenced by this individual when the individual is going to do his evil. Such is the danger of an encounter with a ksil who is repeating his evil over and over again. And a person who comes in contact with such a ksil, he's really getting himself into deep trouble. He's going to engender within his own nefesh various contaminations, pagamim. And at the end of the day, it might become inherently built into the very source, the very root of his soul. And therefore, kol haroeh sota bekilkula yazir atzmo min hayayin. The cause of the kilkul of the sota is the drinking of wine, is schok and kalus rosh, the levity. She is living, although she may be mature, on a level of an immature child. She's under the influence of bad people. And perhaps she began taking alcohol or who knows what. And therefore, the Mishnah says at the beginning of Sota that they would scare off the Sota. They would threaten her, so to speak. They would say to her, Biti, harbe yayin ose, harbe schok ose, harbe yaldus ose. The influence of taking large volumes of wine, drinking larger volumes of wine, is schok, it's yaldus, is shcheinim roim, it's something that is typical of the behavior of those who are evil. And therefore, asi lishma gadol, please avoid these influences, and certainly not to take intoxicating wine, because Ultimately, what's going to happen as a result of your improper, immoral behavior, we will have to take the parsha of Sota, the Shem Hashem, we'll have to erase it by putting it into the waters of the Mei Sota. We see over again that we are encountering these phrases, these concepts of Schok, of Kalas Rosh, all related to the Sota, the Kilkula. That is the great danger that can bring a person to the lowest level. And the only way he could save himself is by making fences around it and avoiding any sort of contact that might lead. That's the Nazir. The Nazir is the one who schar, he goes around and around. He avoids any close contact with wine. And these hachokos, these gedarim, are self-imposed, and yet Chazal encourage a person to take this upon himself when he realizes that there is a danger of being influenced and being allured to taking these intoxicating beverages or getting involved in Kalas Rosh, which will lead to immoral behavior. Get yourself out of there. Move far away. Set up gedarim. Become a nazir. Avoid any intoxicated beverages. We remember in the case of Yosef HaTzadik, Vayonas Achutza, that he had to get far away from the place of allurement of temptation. And therefore, we have to take to heart how great is the influence of the society we live in, and somehow withdraw from that society, rather than expose ourselves to the dangers that we may not be able to, even though we convince ourselves we're able to overcome these temptations, but we cannot trust ourselves. We are not to be trusted. The influences are too great. If we fast forward for a moment to Parshas Baal Loscha in Bamidbar Yud Aleph, the Parsha known as Kivra Satava, Hasafsuf Shebekirbo His Avu Taiva. Rashi comments, who is this Asafsuf? That's the Erev Rav. They gathered together and attached themselves to Bnei Yisrael when the latter were exiting from Mitzrayim. And the influence of Taiva, of desire, and its impact was so intense that all of Klal Yisrael came under the influence of the Asafsuf. They too began to cry. Vayeshuva vayivku gam b'nei Yisrael. Rashi says gam b'nei Yisrael bachu imayim. They linked up with the Asafsuf, the Erev Rav, and started crying. And what was the nature of their crying? What was the reason for it? Chazal say it on the pasuk. Vayishma Moshe sa'am bochel mishpachosav al iske mishpachos al arayos shenesoros lehem. The prohibition of arayos is something that they were so anguished about, they were so crying about. And why? Because of the influence of the Asafs of the Erev Rav. And once again, we learn the same principle in deriving the significance and the danger of the impact of a bad, evil chevra, of a bad, evil society. There's no limit to it. Even the Dor Deah, the Rambam writes in his Shmona Prakim about the Dor Deah, that even the, in a sense, the simplest of all of Klal Yisrael, a Shifcha Shebiyam, was as great a Nevu as Yechezkel ben Buzi, and yet they left Mitzrayim, they were at Har Sinai, they were influenced by the Anani HaKavod, they were completely encircled by miracles, they were a Dor Deah, and yet at the same time, they were exposed to the evil influence and the impact of a Chevra Ra, of the Erev Rav, and that dragged them down. And they were crying, Al Iske Mishpachos. And so much research has been done in our times, in the 20th century and going into the 21st, on the influence of society, on those around us, how the collective entity and even our friends impact on the individual. There is, if we date back to 1963, the very famous experiment of Stanley Milgram in the in the wake of the Holocaust, and his experiment was about obedience. And if you remember that he got together a bunch of volunteers for his experiment, they were told that they were part of a scientific study, and he was investigating through this experiment how far would they be willing to go if a figure of authority would give them instructions to impose punishment or pain upon someone else? Would they be obedient to this figure of authority? Will they go as far as giving electric shocks to an innocent person? They were called upon, that again, they were this was all set up as part of the experiment. They didn't know that this was part of a joke. So not a joke, I should say a joke, but this was already set up, that the person would give wrong answers to questions, and they would have to raise the voltage each time. And in fact, the student who was giving the wrong answers was part of the experiment. He was an actor, and in reality, he didn't receive any shocks, but there was a machine in front of them, and there were electric shocks which were displayed at different voltages, and they were given warnings at certain points that the electric shocks were so intense, they were dangerous. And yet, despite that, the students in this experiment continued to raise the voltage. And according to the results of Stanley Milgram's experiment back in 63, he was able to prove that 65% would go to the full 450 volts, which would kill a person. And this experiment was repeated in a slightly different form in 2008, a full 40 years later, more, 45 years later. And in this case, 9 out of 12 people, that's 3/4, 75%, went to the full voltage. And it shows the influence of society and particular figures of authority. And we buckle down to these influences. That's how powerful they are. And there have been many other experiments. There's the case of the girl who began her first day of high school, and she was in a math class, and she was aware of the fact that one of her fellow pupils in the class gave an answer that was incorrect, but all the other students in the class agreed to the wrong answer, and she remains quiet. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't want to get up and say something against the social group. So we are inclined to be so influenced, to conform. We are basically conformists. And this is so much a part of human existence. You talk about the media and its influence. You talk about adopting to the social society, the mores of society. A person goes into a restaurant, he wants to see what the next one is eating. Or, for example, you want to decide which fork to use. You look to the left, you look to the right. Everything around you has an influence. This is conformity. And there was an experiment in 1951 by a scientist by the name of Solomon Asch. And he also wanted to prove conformity. And the participants were led to believe that they were testing the quality of vision. And he sampled groups of people who knew about the real intentions of the experiment alongside individuals who were oblivious to the true object. And each round, questions based on the length of lines shown on a diagram had to be answered. So he was testing their perception to see how long the lines are. And at the beginning, initially, the groups were insinuating the correct answers, but gradually they began to give wrong answers. And because of the pressure to conform to the majority, 75% of the blind participants gave an incorrect answer because they didn't want to give an answer that was different from everyone else. It's pretty amazing. And more recently, they did a survey regarding answers to to questions on a computer, and the participants were asked to rate different musical performances that they were shown on the computer. Where would they rate them, which they liked the most? And then there were those who were given no access to the answers of others, and their rating was purely individualistic. There were others, however, who were given access to the answers and the ratings of others. And in the first case, they really rated the best music on top. In the other case, they were so influenced that they would constantly follow, you know, in society, and that's what they did. And all of this research really has brought to the light the tremendous influence of society and on our friends, on our decisions, on our ethical behavior. It's only the very exceptional few who will innovate and who will deviate from the norm in society. And one of the parshiyos in the Torah, I think, which more than any other parsha indicates and demonstrates this point, is the parsha of the Meraglim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Kalev, what is Kalev's greatness? Avdi Kalev Ekev Hoysa Ruach Acheres Imo. Let's emphasize those words. Ruach Acheres Imo. What is the emphasis here on Ruach Acheres Imo? And the answer is that he was able to overcome, to insulate himself and protect himself from the influence that could have easily penetrated into his heart, namely the Atzas HaMeraglim. But he had a Ruach Acheres. He had this power, a Ruach, a Koach, that he could stand absolutely firm against and confront the Hashpah, the terrible Hashpah of the other Ruach, the Ruach that's blowing very, very strongly, very profoundly. He can stand up against that. That's the Ruach Acheres of Kalev. And the influence of the Atzas Meraglim is so intense that even though the Meraglim themselves, Rashi tells us, were Ksherim Ayu, they were from the greats of the very Shvatim who were sent on this mission, and nevertheless, they were so influenced by the pack, by the group. And the Chazal tell us in Sota, it says, Vayavo, Vayelchu Vayavo, Lahakish Halichasam Libiyasam Abiyasam Beitzara Afalichasam Beitzara. And what is this all about, this Eitzara? The Ramban says, Amru Esa'emes Veshiva Mashinitz Tavu Ach At At Somach Zera Ra Uberisham Osifu Viamru Efes Ki Az Ha'am Hayoshe Varet Harim Betzuris Gedolos. But Tzoros Gedolos Miod V'gam Yaldei Anakra'inu Sham. The Ramban explains Harishoyim V'milas Efes. There's one word here. Efes ki Efes ki Az Ham. The word Efes means, says the Ramban, Mora Al Dover Efes V'nimna Na'odim Yefshol V'shuminya. We don't have a chance of conquering these powerful nations, and therefore they were motzi diba on Eretz Yisrael. The Ruach Acheres, which is really reflected in these two individuals of Kalev and Yoshua, was a result of the fact that when they were appointed for this shlichus, they went out to the mission with a Ruach Acheres. They decided they're not going out with the Vayavo, Vayelchu Vayavo, Halichasam Libiyasam Beitzarah. And when we think about it, it's really marvelous. It's really quite amazing that the great Nisayon, the challenge of the Meraglim, to the extent to which Moshe Rabbeinu had to change the name of Yoshua from Hoshea to Yoshua and adding a Yud, Kideshi Vasha Me'atzas Meraglim, it was a prayer and a transformation of the personality of Yoshua that he should not be influenced by the Atzas Meraglim, Korach Hazal say, the first thing he does, he goes to Kivrei Avos, L'shtatech al Kivrei Avos, K'dei Shetamod lo, S'chusam, to look for an injection, a protection, that would allow him to overcome the influence of the Meraglim. And that's because of this herd mentality, the society that influences us, and therefore we required, once again, as we said over and over again, from all the Makaris that we saw, to be very, very careful and avoid these influences to such an extent that the Rambam says we have to live out in the Midbarios. And that was the blessing, perhaps, that was bestowed upon Yishmael. If you look in Rabbi Hussein Bali Atosus on the Torah, Vayomer Moshe, when Moshe addresses his father-in-law, Chosein Moshe, Nosim Anachnu L'Amokom Asher Omer Hashem, which is coming up in next week's parsha, and the Bali Atosus comment, Ani Mechala Panecha Shetelech Imanu. Why is he so eager and he begs his father-in-law to accompany the Jewish people, to join the Jewish people? And he says, Lafishi Adata, because you, Yisro, are totally aware of the Nisim, of the Gvuros, of the love and compassion that Hashem demonstrated for the people of Israel. And that's going to have a tremendous influence on Klal Yisrael. If you join us, you will inevitably impact on Klal Yisrael. And we see that the Dor HaMidbar, even though they saw the Ara Gedola of Mitzrayim, they saw the Nisim Niflos, everything that they saw in the Midbar, nevertheless, when they saw Yisrael leaving the people of Midian that he grew up in, they became so inspired by Yisrael that he was willing to leave his country, his people behind, to join Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. And why? Because of the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This really opened up a very bright light to see and appreciate the Nisim, the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Bnei Yisrael. Here's Yisrael, coming from another country, another land, and he's willing to pack out, leave his nation, leave his country, to join with Klal Yisrael. This taught them to appreciate and to express gratitude for the great miracles of Hashem. And therefore we see over and over again the flip side. And this is the side that the Rambam says, Leishev Eitzel Chachamim. And Shlomo HaMelech points out that Holiches Chachamim Yechkam, the tremendous impact of a leading authority, a gadol, a giant in Torah, upon society. Those who look up to a Chacham will be influenced by him in such a positive and profound way. The Ramban, later on in Sefer Bamidbar and Perek Chav Beis, speaks about the fact that the Zikne Midjan dropped out at one point, and why did they drop out and not continue all the way as the Zikne Moav did in the attempt to undermine Klal Yisrael? It's because, says the Ramban, Ki Zikne Midjan Chachomim Hoyu V'yodu Kol Divrei Moshe Yisrael Gadol Arza. Imagine generations later, the Zikne Midjan are aware and are influenced by the discussion, the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro, and they looked up to Yisro. But imagine the influence of Moshe on Yisro, and therefore the influence on Yisro, which trickles down through the generations to the Zikne Midjan, to such an extent that the Zikne Midjan at some point drop out. And they say, Ad Kan, you know, we're not going to persecute the Jewish people anymore and try to undermine them and try to defeat them. Such is the influence of great Chachamim on their people. And perhaps this adds another link in the chain of the Smichus HaParshios between Sota and Nazir. Because Chazal and Ramban really embellishes this on the Roa Sotav Kukula Yazir Atzmanu Yain. The Ramban says that Yayin has such an influence on immorality, and we have to take this to heart. But then he goes on and he speaks about another dimension of Nazir. V'gidol ha-seyar, the Nazir has to allow his hair to grow. Hepoch ha-bachurim ha-mesalsalim seyar rosham lehisnos. This is the opposite form of behavior than those young people who are constantly playing with their hair, trying to make themselves so beautiful, so handsome. And then the Ramban goes on to say, V'agidul yolid dago belev ish, ulefichach hu kadosh, hu mishtarim min atuma, hu kohen hamishareis lalokov. And this phrase, Hagidul yolid dago belev ish, I think what it means is that by growing his hair, the Nazir is constantly aware of his longer hair, is in a state of daiga, meaning he's being very careful about his nazirus, which, as we said before, is a way in which he separates himself from a negative society, from negative friends. When a person takes these extremes, he's not in a state of, passivity, but rather he actively takes these methods that are very extreme. And he doesn't say, shalom alei nafshi, everything's going to be fine. But he goes to unbelievable efforts in order to awaken his heart with a daiga, as the Ramban says. And within the context of this daiga, of this constant awareness and concern, he's looking, he's seeking for a higher level of existence. He doesn't want to be allured by the pleasures of this world as the Bachurim are. And the Ramban says, Kadosh Yomalo, such a person who is so motivated and actively seeks out a way of life that will protect him from the influences of Taiva, of Tanugos Olam, Kadosh Yomer, he is sanctified. He has the keys to save himself from all the dangers and the influences around him because of his Daigas Alev, the essence of which is leaving a situation of being satisfied with the influences around him, those who are Shakua B'Tainugos, and for the sake of his desire to seek out a higher level of perfection and spiritual sensitivity, he's got this Daigas Alev. He is the one who is Malach Hashem. He's like a Kadosh Lashem. He's like a Kohen who's Mesharis LaLokov, says the Ramban. And the fundamental difference here between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam is, as Rashi has it at the end of the Chumash, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Klal Yisrael has a tremendous desire, a desire to climb and ascend the ladder of spirituality. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Hamachzir Avedul Yakum, Olav HaKosuv Omer Leman Sfos HaRoves HaTmeah. Rashi says, Rav is an Ovid Kochavim Shesveim V'enom Tzmeim Liotzram. What we need is, in order to separate ourselves from the Akum, is we need not Sveim, but the opposite, Tzmeim, the Tzmeya, Zui Knesses Yisrael Shetzmeya V'toeva Liyiras Yotzro L'kayim Mitzvosov. There's a tzimon, there's a thirst here, there's a power within a Jew that pushes him and motivates him to climb the ladder, to achieve greater and greater heights. That's the skula, that's the unique character and nature of Klal Yisrael, the Akum HaSveim. They come under the pasuk Harava. Harava Satzmeya. They're fine, they're complacent, whatever they have, they have. They don't have this koch, hadach of this koch that pushes you further and further. And in a sense, the paradigm for Klal Yisrael in society will be the Nazir, because he wants to guarantee, no matter how far he has to go, that he will be on this high level of sanctity, he will be impervious. He runs away from them, he's daiga, he's mekabel nazirus, he's separate, he's independent. And perhaps in general we could say, because we don't have Nazirim in our time, that the replacement for the Nazir is the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham is always a Talmud. He's always trying to learn from others. You know, you can have a chacham, and he's not a Talmud anymore because he's already a Rebbe, but you can't have, you really can't, you know, you're fooling yourself if you think that a chacham doesn't have to have a Rebbe. You can be a Talmud without necessarily being a chacham. You know, you could still be on the level of a Talmud. But if you think that you could be a chacham without being a Talmud, that's fooling yourself, because a chacham is impossible unless he's a Talmud. We always describe a chacham as a Talmud chacham. He realizes that he has to learn more and more. He has to study more. He has to raise himself and inspire himself to greater levels. That's the essence of a chacham. He's got to be a Talmud chacham. And in order to do so, he has to be mevakesh chachma. And he has to seek out the influences of the greats, the giants. And he has to rub shoulders with Talmidei Chachamim, be part of a chabura of Chachamim. The Nazir who's letting his hair grow wild is, as the Ramban says, Hepech HaBachurim HaMesalsalim Sa'arosham Lisnos. He's the opposite of these young whippersnappers who boast of their good looks because they stand in front of mirrors and they beautify their hair. No. The Nazir is just the opposite. He's antithetical. Katzar nafsho. He is absolutely repulsed by this sense of being happy and laid back, feeling, so to speak, satiated, rava. You know, I'm happy where I am. I'm complacent. I can be influenced. I can go be swayed one way or the other. No. What he wants is a daiga belibo. He has a tzimon. He has a thirst. He's a mavakesh alokov. He's constantly seeking out God. He is a kadosh. And this growing of his hair, pera, is really meant to take a person, in this case the Nazir, out of his sense of shalva, out of his sense of sova, and to awaken his heart a daiga of fear, a constant battle to energize himself, to reach higher levels, level by level with that mile of tzimon, of bakasha. He desires, he craves shlemus, perfection. And the Ramban says that in the parasha of Nazir, v'chein hishlim b'karbonos din Hanazir, Kachresha, Hukama Mishkan, Vinivtu Mehem Atmeim, Lokach mi Bachureim, Linizirim, Asher Tsovu Pesach Oel Moed, Lamod Lifne Hashem Lisharsa Ulavarech Bishmo. Says the Ramban that the Hakomas HaMishkan is a process by which we separate, we weed out the Tmeim. And the Ramban says something pretty amazing over here. He says that Lokach mi Bachureim leNizirim. Who are these Nizirim? He says these are the ones who gathered around. There was a gravitational pull to the Pesach Ol Moed to stand in front of Hashem. They wanted to be close to Hashem. They wanted to serve Hashem. And therefore the Yesod of Nizirus really has inherent within it this Mila of looking and seeking out Shlemus, to constantly elevate oneself, a desire to inspire, to reach higher and higher levels, to be Mesharis Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu chose the Nizirim, those Asher Tzavu Pesach Ol Moed Lamod Lifnei Hashem, those who had this tremendous craving, this desire, this intense Hishtokakus for growing and growing in Aliyah and wanting, desiring Dveikus, these are the individuals who were taken as Nazirim. That's the Eitzah to save us from the negative, damaging influences of society, to have this intense desire and craving to go higher and higher and higher. And that's what the Nazir represents. So we go, in effect, from the Sota, who is influenced by those around her, to drink and to lower her moral standards until finally she's suspect of an immoral act. And those who come in contact with the Sota and influence the Sota, they are coming under a very dangerous influence of the mores of society. In order to uproot themselves from that, in order to get out of the lichluch and lechlecha me'artzcha, we have the parasha of the Nazir. The Nazir embodies the concept of a tremendous, intense desire, never to be satiated, to get closer, to get higher, to be above all the influences that are negative, all the ksilim, to be with the chachamim, to become a Talmud Chacham, to be influenced in a positive way, yiratzo, may it be his will, that we should learn the lesson of the Nazir, that we should gain a certain clarity of thought, of das, in order to be counted amongst the Yirei Hashem, in order to be included amongst the Chachamim, so that we can reach higher levels of Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That should be our goal. That's where we should set our sights. May we be granted the Siyata Deshmaya, the help from Hashem, to achieve that goal, to overcome the negative societal influences, and to find ourselves as innovators who are lighting the torch and enriching our fellow Jews with Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Kein Yiratzon, Amen.